Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who or what was a silhouette standing in one person's doorway very, very late into the night?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it does happen to be. Thank you guys for listening. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. And if you'd like to get yourself some extra stuff, like our bonus episodes, EPP bonus episodes, what we call them for extra podcast people, sign up to be one at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. There you get a bonus episode every single week, jam-packed with our best stories. Only there do you get it. You also get our advanced episodes of the show weeks before the release to the public and our archive, all of it commercial-free. So if you love the show and you're not a big fan of ads, I get it. We got to support the show some way. You got an option. You can have the ad version. That's cool. Or for $5 a month, you can get rid of all those ads. Patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com to get access to all of that and all of the extras, not just ad-free. You get so many more extras. So please do consider that and help keep us on the air. It's Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Every week when you talk about that, I think I should sign up for that.
It would be fun.
Like such a great deal.
Wouldn't it? It'd be a really fun thing to sign up for. It'd be a great gift to yourself, a great beginning of August gift. You know, why not? Get a gift for yourself, because
is that where we're at, the beginning of August, when this one airs?
We're at the beginning of August,
because it's really about a month before then, and we're getting ready for Halloween. And I just let my dog outside about 10 minutes ago.
You're getting ready for Halloween? What the fuck
Halloween?
Are you?
What am I talking about? 4th of July.
Carol's what? Time traveling.
I'm drunk, and I'm not drunk. No, but I just stepped outside, and it sounds like a war zone.
Yeah.
And 4th of July is not even for like
a couple days.
5 days?
Yeah.
4 days?
Yeah.
Like, shit.
It's the dog. It's the worst week in the world for dogs.
Oh, my God. It really is. Yeah. Like, I'm one of those people that, well, my dog's not doing well anyway, but I can't go anywhere.
Sure.
Like, you know, you're kind of like, oh, movie, that sounds fun. Oh. But you can't go because of all the fireworks. And it's just...
Carol is literally
dramatic.
Sitting underneath a futon bed right now with her dog recording the show.
Actually, thank God he's going deaf. Because yeah. He's doing better with it this year, but I did just give him some Benadryl.
Yeah.
But... I've watched him outside. Like, some of them he hears, but any of the lower range booms, he doesn't hear those as well.
So you almost need a sensory deprivation tank that you can put him in just for the week. Be like, sit in here. I bet that would screw him up though too, because like, where are all the senses suddenly?
Yeah.
And, you know,
cause he's 15 and a half.
Yeah.
And he probably started getting really bad with fireworks about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just, for pet owners like me, it is a lot.
Sure.
It is just terrifying for them.
It is. Well, hopefully by now when this airs, the fireworks are done. And tomorrow, in our world of recording, on the actual date, tomorrow is my birthday, August 5th. So.
Happy birthday!
There you go. Yeah.
In a month.
And I'm stopping here. I'm not going anywhere beyond this number. I am done. So
actually you're not, because if you're done, you're dead. So
no, I'm not saying I'm going to die. I'm just saying I'm staying on this number. We're going to do repeat on this number going forward. So,
and you're going to be taking a vacation around your birthday too.
Yeah, I will be.
Aren't you?
I will be. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So when this airs, you might be got out of town.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But, yeah, so I'm, that's what's going on in the real world. while hopefully everything is going good in August for our planet and our country, as we've
you never know.
It's been a fairly consistent couple of months. So I'm going to hope that it continues to go that way. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Get Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story. It says, this is a short story, but it's something that happened to me twice in my lifetime. When I was about the age of either 5 or 6, one happened at my grandmother's house and the other at my own home. When school was out, my parents used to send us to our maternal grandparents' home up in the morning. They picked us up after they got off work. During one of those days, I decided to take a nap at the room that was in the back of the house. I decided to lie down with my head at the foot of the bed in front of the table fan. I was lying on my stomach with my head turned towards the door, which was open. This room, as well as the terrace that was next to the room, were not part of the original house and were added lots of years after the house was bought. I was lying down on the bed in the position I previously described, but was not asleep, and I saw the silhouette of a person walking by the door, but it was not what people would describe as a shadow person, since it was white, short, and like a mist, and had the shape of a person, and it appeared as if it were walking. All this happened in broad daylight, as it was like 3 in the afternoon and the terrace was open to the backyard behind the house. As soon as I saw the thing walking by, I got up and I went outside the room and there was no one or nothing there. After this, I decided I did not want to take a nap anymore. I never told anybody about this, but my grandmother had told me years after this that she and one of her sisters had seen stuff in the house after this, probably during the same year. I was at my house, which was in the next city over from my grandparents' house, and I saw the same thing. This time it was early in the morning, and I was sitting in the sofa waiting for my two brothers to finish getting ready to go to school, and I saw it. The living room had a small entryway that divided in 3 directions. The right side went to the kitchen, but that way was blocked by the refrigerator. The door in the front, which was the bathroom, and the door to the left, which went to the only bedroom in the lower level. The same white, misty figure walked from where the refrigerator is and walked directly into the bedroom. This time I decided not to check. There's probably one thing that I should mention about this house. It also had various renovations done to it. The lower level bedroom had a set of windows that opened to another room, which was a storage. Before that, they opened to the backyard. The room also had a door-shaped indentation in the wall, and I found out that before the house had the renovations done there, there was a door that went to the back of the garage and probably to the laundry area, which was right next to it in the garage. When my parents bought the house, the door had already been sealed off from the previous owners, sealing off the door because they used that room as a place to practice Santeria and placed an altar in front of the door. When they bought the house, they had to get rid of some of the old stuff that they left behind, including said altar. After this, the only other paranormal thing that happened to me in that house was that I felt touched in the lower back by something that was not there. And when my maternal grandfather passed away, I had a remote control fall on my hands, but there was no one there beside myself. The last two things were covered in a previous episode with Harper. Thanks, guys, for the awesome content. Keep up the good work and take care. It's almost like you have to ask on the real estate forms, like, were any religious practices observed within this house, not just praying and stuff, but like ceremonies and things of that nature.
Yeah, it may, because I thought about that at that point in the story. Mm-hmm. Like, did they know that before they bought it and thought, we can work around that, we'll renovate it, no biggie,
we'll turn the altar into a nice wet bar up by the
like
pool.
That's not something you see on Hometown with Aaron and Ben. I love them.
Oh, but there was the one Satan edition where they they went into that funeral home and fixed it up with a lot of shiplap, and they made an altar to Joanna Gaines, and it was really weird, like, because the Joanna Gaines, it was more of like a voodoo doll that they kept like putting into like the
oh my god,
the
don't
table
tell
saw.
Me that Ben made that in his wood shop,
it was
because
he was
really freaking talented.
It was messed up and it looked a lot like her, and then Aaron was like sitting there like drilling into it, and it was just like, what is going on? And because at first he said they're going to renovate this house that had the satanic stuff going on. No, they ended up turning it into a whole altar where they were trying to like sacrifice the Gaines
Chip
family,
and
Chip and Joanna. It was so weird. I mean, it was especially creepy when they went to the silos And one of them was dressed up just as a tourist, and they secretly snipped a locket of Joanna's hair and then got that back down to the to Laurel.
Aaron just seems so darling. I just can't believe she would do
She's
that.
She's a Satanist witch. And it's funny because it's there's a whole, like, when they're everybody's trying to do, you know, spinoffs, wait till the fall spinoff this year, where they show you how to turn your any room in your house into a dungeon sex room. And it's it's going to be weird. And there's going to be a lot of leather involved, too.
They're going to turn a whole town into, like, a sex club place. I didn't have a better term.
They're going to be there's a new mill leather. There that's tanning hides, and it's all leather. And they're using only custom made hides for their leather outfits.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, this fall. On HGTV.
But I would like to see, like they're ripping down a wall, and then, because they always like, and you see the reaction goes to commercial, and then for 3 or 4 minutes, you're like, what the hell? What did they see? And normally it's like,
nothing.
Oh, we just saw that the wood was rotted.
Yeah.
But what if they, like, saw this whole altar, and it was like some devil worshiping site.
That would be
crazy shit.
There's been some, they were not well produced home shows, but I think there were some like that. But you could so tell it was like, okay, fake. Producers came in here and then added all this shit because it looks very fake. And yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, but it'd be interesting. I mean, your odds of finding that are slim to nil on television. But I mean, I think if they came across it, they would use it. But I just don't think you quite commonly come across satanic altars in people's walls.
But what about that house that person was living in? Like,
yeah,
you know, we boarded it up or whatever. Like,
I think
did you not get a weird feeling about it? Was it like, you know, maybe we shouldn't buy this house?
Some people can just look the other way.
Did you see what's behind the wall?
Yeah. I know. Some people can just look the other way a lot easier, either easier than others. Where people, some people
well,
just,
once you've paid for the house, you can't exactly go, change my mind.
Don't like the satanic altar, but yeah, no, I get it. Great story. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802, our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next letter. It says, greetings, Brewskis. My name is Rebecca. I am from Savannah, Georgia, longtime listener, but I have been an EPP for almost a year now and am uncommonly sensitive to the goings-on of the creepy yet fascinating. I'm a prophetic dreamer. I receive messages, sometimes almost puzzles to interpret, from those who have moved on from this plane of existence. I've seen many shadow figures and entities throughout my life. I do not know why. To give you a few examples, the night before the 2004 tsunami, I dropped my brother and his little girls around the beach with myself and my children, and we watched as the water started to recede. I was panicking in the dream, trying to get everyone to safety because I knew the wave was coming. It was terrifying and felt so real. The next day, the world grieved as 230,000 plus people were dead or missing. The same happened in September of 2018. I dreamt about a tsunami, and 2 days later, one hit Paul, Indonesia. I document everything. I always write down as well and send a text when I have what I think may be prophetic dreams. There have been so many of them. Family members dying, accidents that have happened, hurricanes, job promotions. It's not always bad. But most of the time, I see dreams of death and destruction because actual death and destruction tend to follow. Okay, so moving on. 2020 was a tough one for most of us in the world. My family and I did not fare as well as some, unfortunately. My sister was brutally murdered on the 13th of February, 2020, and my father died of COVID on March 13th. Then my best friend died mysteriously in her sleep on September 22nd. 2020 sucked. My sister, however, has come to my aid a few times. The second time was the craziest. It was about 8 days after she was killed, and I was at my best friend's house taking a nap. She woke me up and said she was running to the store and she was just going to leave the girls, her two children, at home with me. I started to get up and she was like, no, go ahead, relax, you're fine, you can sleep. I won't be gone for more than a couple of hours. I was still very much depressed and grieving because it had only been a week since my sister's death, and she did not want to make me get up. Let me say that her children were 8 and 11, perfectly capable of watching TV while I napped. I'm not exactly sure how long I was sleeping before I heard my dead sister's voice, plain as day, in my ear say, "Becky!" There was a slight pause, and then, "Becky! Becky!" Finally screaming at the last time my name was called. First off, no one calls me that but my family. I knew my sister's voice instantly. I knew it was her plain and simple. The way she yelled my name to wake up just shook me. I jumped up and headed out of the living room. When I opened the guest room door, my bestie had closed it when I left. I was immediately hit with the overwhelming smell of gas. I ran to the kitchen, turned the gas off on the stove, and opened all the windows and doors, and did not go back to sleep. I knew that was my sister. I believe the gas filling the house is why she was yelling in my ear. I do not like to think what would have happened had I not been woken when I was. This is a little different, but I have some memories that were traumatic and damn right terrifying for a long time for me. I have seen something. Ghosts, shadow people, or maybe multidimensional beings. I really do not know. But I've been seeing them, feeling their presence, and a few times living through the nightmare of sleep paralysis for a very exceptionally long time. I'm one of the very strange people that remembers learning how to walk. I have a ton of memories from when I was small that my parents would always freak out saying that I was so young then. There's no way I should remember any of it. But I do, and some of the things I remember, I wish I could not. I have so many things I could write about, but I want to keep it somewhat short since I've already typed out damn near a novel. I was 3, maybe 4 years old, and my brother was 2 or 3. I know this because of the specific house in Tampa, Florida. So we had twin beds in the same room. I remember facing the wall, playing with a Happy Meal toy on my strawberry shortcake bed sheets, when across the room, my brother started whimpering. And that whimpering led to a cry. Back then, I was extremely bossy, a mother hen type. So my brothers immediately got up out of bed. And as I was about to cross the room, his screams intensified. It was a scream of terror I have never forgot. I remember saying, "Shh, it's okay, buddy," mimicking what my mother would do. As I started towards him, he points to the open closet about 4 or 5 feet from the foot of the bed. Briskies, it did not take long to register what I was seeing because it became immediately apparent there was something standing in our closet. I was stopped dead in my tracks, completely paralyzed. I could not move. I could not scream. I was in total shock. I was going to describe what I saw the best way I can. It was a completely black form of a man, like made from complete darkness. His mouth was wide open, and I mean wide open, like he was screaming at the top of his lungs, but I heard nothing. My brother's scream of terror. Both his mouth and his eyes had color coming out of them, almost as if they were emitting energy. I really do not know how else to describe it, honestly, but this was not the scariest part. To his right, our left, he had some other being with him. I say with him because it almost looked as though the other being was on a leash. It was also made of darkness and had color emitting from its eyes. It was crouched, kind of squatting on the ground, almost as if it were lining up in a race, as if he was aiming right at me. It literally looked like he was about to take off full speed at me. I was so terrified that I peed myself. I remember, I honest to God remember feeling warm pee running down my leg, but not like a trickle. Like my full bladder said, "Oh, hell no, I'm out." Not sure how long we were face to face with these things, but I do remember both of our parents coming in and picking us up. I was held by my father, and he had no idea what we were seeing. I just remember trying to hide my eyes in my dad's chest. They were both wearing leather that was cold and smelled good. They were bikers, by the way. I also remember kind of getting scolded for peeing and not being able to explain what or why we were so upset. I could say I have never been more terrified in my life, but unfortunately, it would not be true with all the things I've heard, seen, and felt in my 41 years. But this was the first time I can remember, well, feeling this scared. You guys, I could go on and on and on with stories, but I feel like this was extremely long enough. I promise to write back in or call again soon. I have a couple scarier memories I'd like to share with you. You guys are amazing. Thank you for the platform. It means a lot to all of us. Lots to unpack in that.
I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's so crazy that people can, like, there's this whole other dimension that someone like that experiences.
Mm-hmm.
you know, that we don't have.
Sure.
Like, I think, you know, I think I've come up to the edge of it several times throughout my life, you know, because I've seen shit, and but not like, like, it just sounds like it's there.
Just part
all
of life.
The time. It's kind of turned on all the time where I can shut mine off. And I like to have it shut off.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a gift and a curse at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope that she, I don't know if that was a she or he.
I believe so.
I hope that she has a way to escape it too. You know what I mean?
Because
that would be a lot.
You don't always want to be feeling.
And it's
all
weird
those
that you remember learning how to walk. Like, I think that's. But you have really early memories. I don't.
I do. I can go back to me. That's like two.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, I have like a handful of memories before I was maybe four or five. But I just don't. I don't remember like being in kindergarten. Just don't.
I remember being two and pretending I was on the radio.
God, I think you are so adorable. I would like to have known little Tony. My God.
Yeah. I mean, I remember doing that. I remember the cassette deck. I learned how to use it and put the tape in and press the two buttons down for recording and stop and play and fast forward and rewind. I was doing all that at two and I loved it. It was so much fun.
That does not surprise me.
Figured it all out, and I was playing Ghostbuster Radio, and that's what I called it. And it was talk formatted, and we talked about ghosts and podcast didn't exist. I had no idea what the hell talk radio was, and I was pretending that's what I was doing at two. So yeah, so when people ask like how long have you been doing this, I guess I could say like 36 years if we go into two, or 37 years, you know. Well, what are we at now? 38 years, I guess. Yeah. Jesus. So yeah, it's scary, but yeah, I got the tape. I got the tape right behind me.
But like that person, then that weird thing they saw was something on a leash, and like, I mean, it'd be one thing if, you know, your life was kind of Willy Wonka on the side, you know, it's kind of delightful and in a way, but it's like, it's not, it's terrifying at times.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just interesting to me that people like Teresa Caputo, I love her, you know, and like, is that like, if you can't shut that off fully, like, how can you just go have, you know, July 4th picnic and shoot off fireworks? Like, is it always there?
I don't know that you can, you know. I mean, it's but you probably make a lot of peace with it, and you just kind of move on, you know, with life, and it's not such a big deal. It's more shocking to others because it's like, wow. But I guess if it's always there, at some point, it's like white
noise.
It's
all you know, maybe?
You hear the noise? Well, it's like a smell. It's like if you live near a farm or something, you start smelling manure, and 4 days in, the smell's still there. Anybody else that's new comes and smells it, but you don't anymore. Or a noise, or you constantly have a noise that, you know, is in your, you know, neighborhood. Eventually, you don't hear it anymore because it just becomes white noise to you. I think that's how it is for a lot of people. So
maybe that is it.
Yeah. Let's go to
It's interesting.
Yeah. Let's go to the caller, 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hey, this is Nathan Rodriguez from Munford, Tennessee. Just wanted to call and share my story here. First off, big fan of the show. I've been listening to y'all for 4 years now, I guess, and became an EPP 2 years ago. So I love what y'all are doing. Love the podcast. And, yeah, I thought it was time to go ahead and share mine and get my story out there. So this actually takes place in Derby, Kansas. I was stationed at McConnell Air Force Base at the time. I want to say this was 2016. My wife and I had just had our first daughter, and this was about 2 months after her birth. and I was working night shift at the time. We lived in the Greens apartment complex. So I worked 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., and my wife had just gotten a job at the Town East Mall, and she worked afternoons so that way we could take turns on being able to watch our daughter while we're both at work. So she had just woken up and getting ready for work. I was asleep. And on her way out, she woke me up so I could go ahead and watch our daughter while she was at work. And this is about, I guess, at this point in time now, she's been gone for a few hours. I want to say this was around 8 o'clock, and she usually got off about 9 or 10, so she could be home in time for me to leave. And anyway, I'm sitting in the living room with our two-month-old. She's passed out, sound asleep, in our little portable crib in the living room. And I get up to go to the bathroom, which was, I mean, just down the hall around the corner. So I could hear everything in case I needed to be back out there for any reason. And I'm in there, and of course, I start hearing her cry, and I'm like, oh crap, you know, let me hurry up and get out there so I can take care of her. And in the middle of me finishing up and just trying to hurry, I hear our front door open. I hear my wife walk in and throw her keys on the counter. I can specifically hear her, you know, saying, shh, it's okay, it's okay. And I hear her comforting our daughter. So at this point, I'm like, all right, cool. My wife's home. She's home a little early, whatever. Awesome. So I finally finish up. I get out into the living room, and that's when I started getting kind of freaked out because my wife wasn't home. Her keys weren't on the counter where she usually threw them. And then the front door to the apartment was still locked and closed, and my daughter sound asleep. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, maybe she came in and it was just perfect timing and took care of her real quick and went back downstairs to get something out of the car, or I don't know, left something somewhere and had to go back and get it. So I call her to see where she's at, and sure enough, she's still about, you know, 15, 20 minutes away at the mall working. And I asked her if she came home for any reason at all. And she was like, no, you know, I'm about to get off. I'll be home shortly, but no, I've been to work all day. And so that's when I'm just like, okay, well, somebody or something definitely came in and, you know, took care of our daughter for me and I guess got her to quiet down and go back to sleep. So I'm assuming whatever it was good, but I just wanted to get that out there and see what y'all thought about it. Yeah, so again, I love the podcast and love what y'all do, and I hope to hope I can get some answers. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for sharing that story and experience with us. Your thoughts?
Well, it was kind of crazy because he's talking about my town. Mm-hmm. He lives in Derby, but so when he's talking about his wife working at Town East, sure. I'm like, this is all weird.
Yep.
I don't live in Derby, but it's pretty much attached to Wichita. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that was kind of cool. And he's looking for answers. There are no answers to that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And I had a similar thing happen to me in my last house when I was living with my friend John and I was in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And somebody walked in the house, opened the front door, heard it plain as day, walked in the house, and we had hardwood floors. And so I heard him walk across the floor And I'm in the bathroom getting ready for work. And I yell, did you forget something? Because he never came home. Mm-hmm. Once he left, I'm like, did you forget something? And he didn't answer. And so I'm like, did you forget something? And I walked out there. The door, like I heard the door open. I didn't hear the door shut. Mm-hmm. So, but the door was shut. The door was locked. No one was in the house. So I kind of had something similar happen to me before, and I had no answers for mine.
Sure.
And like I don't know, because what he was describing are very distinct sounds. When you hear your wife walk in, the keys sound. That's very distinct.
It is.
Like, you know, a lot of times they put keys in the same spot, so you hear it clink in the bowl or whatever. You know, it's just really weird.
Yeah.
That, you know, something walked in. Didn't he say the baby was fussing and then the baby stopped and he thought that she had taken care of the baby? Then the baby's not fussing at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It all. Yeah.
It's all like some weird dream thing, you know, because that's what I just did in my house, looking around going, what the fuck was that? Mm-hmm. And even Bud, my dog, was like, I don't know. Like, it was weird. It was like he heard it too. He's standing up. He's looking around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't know. So I wish there were answers for things like that, but there's not. But I think it's good just to acknowledge it, that, yeah, that shit can happen.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not crazy. But I would just like to know what that was all about. And, you know, especially like in his, you know, it involves a baby. Like, that's scary.
It's, it's one of those things. What I really did like about the story, too, it was, and this is just my own selfish areas where it's like, you could picture it in kind of the areas he's talking about and things of that nature.
Yeah, because, I mean, I kind of love that.
Yeah.
It's like, I knew exactly what he was talking about there, Air Force Base.
There's
but
one.
When that happened that day to me, I called my roommate and I'm like, did you forget something at work and happen to come back home and get it? Mm-hmm. He's like, no, I'm at work. Okay, just checking. And he's like, why are you calling me and asking me random questions? And I'm like, somebody walked in the house. I don't know who it was.
And how do you?
It was nobody, obviously.
Yeah. And you got to then kind of make sense of it. And it's just, yeah.
But it makes you kind of question yourself. Like,
sure.
What's the matter with me? Like, yeah, no, what was that?
It totally would. Yeah, it makes you question your sanity because it doesn't make any sense at all.
Because at the same house, I was getting ready for work one day, and I saw it was just a black figure just walk by the bathroom. And let's just say, after that, for a couple weeks, I did not put my makeup on in front of the mirror with the bathroom door open. Like, kept it shut.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what that was. I don't ever want to see it again. And I did not. But it's just, I don't know.
I had a story here, and it's going to be on the EPP bonus episode. It'll be in the couple of weeks back when this airs. But I believe it'll be airing, I think, July 1st, right around there. It's honestly, I think, one of my top 10 ghost stories that we've had on the show. Here's why it really was... Number one, it was great writing. But number two, it took place about 10 miles from here on the campus of Arkansas State University. And it's kind of up there with zombie ghost clown story. It was not written by Oscar or anything. It was written by somebody who's actually in one of the programs there at the college. But what they saw and what they experienced was utterly terrifying after an accident took place. And them saying that they were seeing essentially the victim of the accident kind of following them around the campus and really just being a horrible, horrible evening. But it is something that utterly terrified them. And the visualizations you get from the story are just amazing. So I do.
Ooh, I want to hear that one.
I do recommend checking that out. It's on the EPP, like I said, that would have come out around July 1st of 2021. So it's definitely a good one. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. If you like it, keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Help keep us on the air and enjoy all of those extras. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.